Blog Talk Radio.
Ladies, if your boyfriend isn't listening to Beast Beck,
Brian Spector,
then reach over, grab his knob, and turn it up.
We ready! We ready! We ready!
Football fans, it's that time for the NFL Spectacular with Beast Beck, Brian Spector.
You know, big papi.
If you want to get in on the show, then dial 347-945-6275. Or, for all you computer nerds, you can go online at NFLDraftBible.com.
Spector always delivers what he promises.
He's your resident football expert.
Are you serious? Malin couldn't hit water if he fell out of a boat.
He's the king of the combine.
The guy runs the 40-yard dash in 4 forever.
He's the voice of the angry fan.
If that happens, I might as well go hang myself with wax dental floss.
He's Beast Beck, Brian Spector.
Yes! Yes! Oh, yes!
Absolutely, without a doubt, a true believer.
And he's on right now on the All Access Football Network.
Set your pie hole! We're working here!
Let's get ready to rumble!
A nice little hiatus, and back doing the show. How you doing today? How you doing, folks? How is everything? Beast Beck, Brian Spector with you, taking you the next hour. I have been out and about for close to 2 weeks now. It's good to be back behind the mic, doing the show with you. I got to tell you guys about this trip I was on. First off, it's rough when you're gone for a couple of weeks. Because you start to lose your rhythm. You kind of wonder if you forget how to do things like you did them a few weeks ago. So I go on this trip, and first off, I have to go to Michigan. Now, you hop on a plane. The plane ride from South Florida to Detroit is a pretty comfortable plane ride. It's about 3 hours. I'm relaxing. Everything is terrific. I'm in Detroit. I get off the plane. I have a layover. I have to go to Lansing. All right, no problem. I go to the gate. Everything is perfect. Everything is right on schedule. Now, you think when you're going to Lansing, which a plane ride from Detroit to Lansing, give or take 20 minutes. It's one of those where once you get up in the air, you start to descend already. Now, here I am thinking I'm going to get a small airplane. They actually gave us a big jumbo jet. A regular jet from going from a major city to another major city. We're taking it from Detroit to East Lansing. I'm like, great, no problems. At least I'll have some front room for about 20 minutes. Well, let me tell you this. I get on the plane, and because there aren't a lot of people on a big jumbo jet, they have to spread everybody around to kind of even out the weight on the plane. So you have people in the front, people in the middle, and people in the back. Like, all right. Sounds good. No problem. Well, I'm in the back. I'm thinking nothing of it. Everything is fine. Until I realize where my seat was. I was sitting on the last row of the plane. Not the fact that it's the last row. I'm sitting in the row where you don't even have a window. I went to open up the window. It was black. It was blocked off. I didn't have a window. I was sitting in the aisle seat. The seat I was sitting in is where the FBI transports prisoners. I am not kidding. I am sitting in the seat where the FBI transports convicted felons. So you can only imagine how my comfort level was to begin with. I couldn't believe it. Of all the seats to get on a plane, I'm sitting in the one where the authorities transport people that are going to do prison sentences. I'll put it to you this way. I was able to open up the bathroom door on the airplane without even having to get out of my chair. You have any idea what that's like? I told people, you cannot use the restroom. I was going to charge people if they were going to use the restroom. I said, you cannot come in this direction. I said, it's a 20-minute flight. You have to hold it. I had never been so uncomfortable in all of my life. I literally didn't have to get up to open up the bathroom door. And everyone on the plane around me is starting to laugh and everything like that because I'm ranting and raving. I wasn't trying to be a comedian. Has anybody ever had to sit in that seat on the airplane? If you have, I really want to know. It reminded me of Mike Singletary when he's reading off his rules of the players he wants on his team, where he says, number one, I want this. Number two with Vernon Davis. That's what it was like. I'm thinking that last seat. I'm sitting there thinking Mike Singletary, number one, number two. Oh, there's no number one, there's no number two when I'm sitting in that chair. I told people, you cannot use the bathroom. You have to hold it. They thought I was joking. Luckily, nobody got up to use the bathroom. I was not joking. I was as serious as a heart attack. So, I just want to know if anybody has ever had that experience like I've had that kind of experience on an airplane. 347-945-6275. Give me a call if you've ever been in that situation. Can anybody relate to me to talk about that potential story? That's what people call a crappy situation. Not much going around as far as the National Football League, college football. But, folks, we're in the midst of mini camps right now. Mini camps going on right now around the NFL. Workouts, college players. In the midst of working out, college training camps open up the first week in July. NFL, give or take, the last week in July. Right around the corner, we're practically in June. Is anybody out there excited? I know I'm excited. You want to talk about your favorite NFL team and what's been going on around their mini camps? Give us a call, 347-945-6275. I'll give you some insight on what I know. What have you guys been up to for a couple of weeks since I've been out of town? Plaxico Burress, still a free agent. Why is Plaxico Burress still a free agent? Well, let's see. You might be going to jail. So even though you're a knucklehead, 14 figure out if you're going to jail or not and even consider possibly signing you. They're going to win your legal process. So, yes, Plaque still out of home. Doesn't surprise me one bit. Michael Vick officially out of prison. Working that $10 an hour construction job. I wonder how that's going for him. That's got to be pretty exciting. If you're Michael Vick, all the time you spent in jail washing pots and pans, not having a life, and now you're back home in Virginia. Then again, I don't know what it's like working in that construction job for $10 an hour. First, he's got to get through the rest of his prison sentence, his home arrest. Then he's going to meet with Commissioner Goodell, and even then, there's no guarantees to get back in the league. There is no guarantee whatsoever that Michael Vick is going to be back. So we can talk all we want about this wildcat formation, how Michael Vick would be perfect in that situation because he can throw the ball. Michael Vick doesn't convince me he can be a pure passer in the NFL. Let's forget the Wildcats for a second.
Michael Vick was the reason I got it wrong.
Fair enough. I mean, who knows what's going to happen with Michael Vick? Commissioner Goodell probably has an idea.
Everywhere I go, all around the world, people still support Mike Vick. So, regardless of what I go through, people are going to love me, man.
Well, I don't know about that, but be interested to see what happens with that Michael Vick situation. Does Commissioner Goodell reinstate him? How fast is he back in the league? Might have to sit out another year. What team is going to take a possible flyer on Mike Vick? So who knows what's going to happen? As I said before, it's a possibility that he might sit out another year. It'll be interesting to see how fast he does get back in the league, if he gets back at all. More arrests going around the NFL. Randy Starks, Miami Dolphins, arrested on South Beach Memorial Day. Terry Rhodes of the New York Jets has the rape charge against him dismissed. Potential rape charge. Brett Favre still in limbo. Is he going to have that tendon removed from his right arm? John Elway supposedly played with that tendon. Not being in his arm alleviated the pain. Will Brett Favre make the same decision? How long are the Minnesota Vikings going to wait? Minnesota Vikings, this is something I was thinking about earlier, have a really good football team. You love their defense. Every year they're among the tops as far as stuffing the run. Running backs, draft Percy Harvin, Bernard Berrien, Sidney Rice, Asante Shanko, Adrian Peterson, Chester Taylor. They have some players. What is the one thing you need in the NFL, folks, if you're going to be successful? It's a quarterback. Who's their quarterback? Sage Rosenfels, he's a backup. He's dead. You know he can play. Tavoris Jackson, third-year player, played well in the end of last season. Now you're not going to give him a shot, or are you? I'm not convinced that Brett Favre at age 40 is going to do anything. Jay Cutler, Aaron Rodgers, Matt Stafford, maybe you're really nervous. And you think Brett Favre can offset those nerves. Not going to happen. That will be a very, very interesting story as it develops more. Your calls will take us until 6 o'clock. Justin Van Fulpen of the NFL Draft Bible, Next Level Scouting, will join us. I'll ask him about Plaxico Burress, Michael Vick, NFL player constantly getting arrested. We'll talk about the Wildcat formation. We'll give a little bit of preview of the college football season coming right around the corner. 5 to 6 weeks away, college training camps. Get his opinion on that. And, of course, we'll take your phone calls at 347-945-6275 if you want to get in on the show. We'll take a quick break, pay some bills. You're All Access Football Sports Time. It is 5:15.
More live fantasy sports radio than anyone on the planet. 7 continuous hours of football, baseball, basketball, and hockey action each Monday through Friday. Plus 7 hours of game day frenzy on Sunday. 30 shows in all from the best fantasy sportscasters in the business, like Craig Davis of FantasyFootball.com, the Audible Cecil Lammy, Paul Greco of Melnick and Greco Fantasy Sports, and the Fantasy Football guys Lyle Conkiel and Kevin Moore. The Fantasy Sports Channel, only on Blog Talk Radio. It's a schedule you can bet on.
What's up, y'all? It's Aubrey Stevenson.
And I'm Dave Mendonca.
If you're looking for a basketball talk show with civilized conversation,
you give me your picks, I tell you why they're wrong.
Build around it, Dave. Come on. This is Basketball Franchise 101. I got to break it down for you.
Aubrey, come on. You can't forget the big laugh.
It's a sign of the apocalypse. Dave and Aubrey are in agreement.
Ole, 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 ole.
And big guest,
Darvin Ham.
This is Troy Johnson, a.k.a. Usley.
Hi, I'm Mo Taylor.
NBA Breakdown is a place for you. Catch us Sunday nights at 9 p.m. Eastern on blogtalkradio.com/the NBA Breakdown for Hoops Talk, the way it should be.
Take it down.
When your dedication to fantasy sports borders on obsession, you need to get some serious help. No, we don't mean psychiatric help. You need the help that can only be provided by Sports Grumblings. Sports Grumblings covers all of the major fantasy sports end-to-end, churning out player updates, news, strategy tips, cheat sheets, and more, including the world-famous Fantasy Forecast Ranking System, the only comprehensive computer-generated prediction system of its kind. We do all the work needed to make your fantasy team successful, so you don't have to. Go to sportsgrumblings.com today and see for yourself why we are Fantasy Sports Center of Excellence.
Welcome back, folks. B-Sick Brian Spector with you, taking the next 45 minutes. Something I wanted to mention earlier. Anquan Boldin and the debacle of his contract status. Wants a new deal from the Cardinals, or he wants to be traded, he wants Larry Fitzgerald type money. All you hear is back and forth, he said, she said, and it's pretty amusing at this point. Well, you want to hear something even more amusing? Anquan Boldin has fired agent Drew Rosenhaus for failure to make progress on a trade or contract negotiations with the Arizona Cardinals. I find that hilarious. And if you go on Twitter, and you look under Drew Rosenhaus' comments on his Twitter page, he always puts on there, oh, negotiations with Anquan Boldin going terrific. Everything is going great. Making progress with the Cardinals. Yeah, right, sure. Making progress. That's why Anquan just canned your ass. And it's a very dirty business with agents and players and contract negotiations, folks. It's a revolving door. It's never ending. This is nothing out of the ordinary. Agents getting fired by a player, and then they get retained by that same player. Now, on Drew Rosenhaus's behalf, what does Anquan Boldin really expect? You're a great player, so the Cardinals aren't going to give you up for nothing. Everything has a price. And when you're a good ball player, you want to get what somebody is worth. I'm not going to give up a player just to give him up, especially when he's under contract for the next 2 years. Anquan Boldin and Drew Rosenhaus signed this original extension from his rookie contract, a 3-year extension. You have to abide by the contract you signed. Every player has a rookie contract, 40-year deal, whatever it is. 3 years in that contract, you're playing at a high level, you negotiate 3-4-year extension. That's what happened with Anquan Boldin. He had two more breakout years. Now he wants the $10 million a year. Rosenhaus says that's not true. He doesn't want $10 million a year. That's a load of bull. He wants $10 million a year. So it's going to be interesting to see what's going to keep transpiring with this situation. I don't believe if Anquan Boldin brings in another agent, it's going to make the situation any better. There's no reason to think that whatsoever. So if you're Anquan Boldin, you're going to bring in Tom Condon. You're going to bring in Alvin Keels. Are you going to bring in Ian Greengross? And I can go through and Joel Siegel. I'll name every single powerhouse agent in the NFL. It doesn't matter, Anquan, because if the Cardinals aren't going to give you the $10 million a year, they're not going to give it to you. And they're not going to trade you for nothing. So you need to keep your mouth shut, honor your contract, and play through your contract. There's no ifs, there's no ands, there's no buts. Except yours, that's going to be an Arizona Cardinal uniform. That's all there is to it. End of story, end of discussion. 347-945-6275 if you want to get it on the show. Again, it's 347-945-6275. B-Spec Brian Spector taking you the next 40 minutes. Justin Van Fulpen of the NFL Draft Bible will also join us in the next few moments. We'll go over all what's going on in the National Football League, college football, with training camp coming around the corner in a few weeks. Let's go to the phones. Caller, you're on the air.
Hey,
what's your name?
Hey, I'm Player Slayer from Jersey. How you guys doing?
All right, my man. How you doing today?
I'm all right. Sitting here checking out the show. The Anquan Boldin thing. You know, he went through the same thing last year, and he didn't get the contract. He played anyway, and he ended up with a bunch of screws in his mouth. And I would figure as a fan of Arizona, I'm not an Arizona Cardinal fan, but a fan of the NFL, that Arizona would reward this guy, you know, with some kind of retribution or some kind of contract bump. But instead, you know, they're doing the same thing to him, and he'll probably play again. But if he would have got hurt last year, season-ending injury, or the guy came back early, you know, just to play for the team, and there's no reward for him. That's how I see it, you know. I heard your guys' opinion on it, but I think the Cardinals deserve him more than that.
Well, I'll tell you something, and it's a case 22. You can look at it from numerous perspectives. With Anquan Boldin, this is a guy that was drafted by the Arizona Cardinals in the second round. He was given a four-year rookie contract. 2 years into that contract, he won Rookie of the Year, was playing at a very high level. His agent, Drew Rosenhaus, and Anquan negotiated with the Cardinals a three-year extension at that point. So then, with the 2 years he has left, plus those two, 3 years, he has a five-year deal, okay? He did get a dramatic salary bump. Now, 2 years into that contract, he's blowing up and having even greater years, okay? So now he wants to renegotiate again. It is very uncommon for teams, players, and agents to renegotiate 3 and 4 times within a 6-7 year period. It doesn't happen. So I understand the Cardinals' perspective, but also from the Boldin and Rosenhaus camp, they were the ones that negotiated that extension. Granted, is he underpaid based on his performance? Sure he is, but they were the ones that negotiated that contract. The Cardinals would love to trade Anquan Boldin. They're not going to give him Larry Fitzgerald money. Larry Fitzgerald is an elite receiver. I'm not saying Anquan isn't elite. He's a top receiver in the league, but you can't pay your number one, your number two receivers that kind of money against your salary cap. It's all about the cap nowadays. And they're not going to give Anquan Boldin away for nothing, okay? Whether it's a first-round pick, a second-round pick, and a new contract, Anquan wants a new contract. Now, with teams, the hesitation is going to be, all right, so you want a first-round pick, a second-round pick, you're going to give me Anquan Boldin, then I have to give him a 5-6 year extension with a big signing bonus. It's also risky for teams because Anquan has had both knees surgically repaired. As you mentioned, he had the jaw last year. So there are issues on every side. The Cardinals and the Cardinal people that I've spoken to are more than happy to trade Anquan Boldin. But there has to be a fair price as well. They're not just going to give him away. You see what I mean?
I understand exactly. I just think he's more of an asset to him as a strong number two receiver, where he can be a number one receiver somewhere else. But he complements Fitzgerald very well in that offense. But
you make a great point. Well, you make a great point. Thank you for your call. They're not going to get rid of Anquan Boldin. They're going to say, hey, Anquan, you know what? You're under contract. You have to hang out and stick with us. That's the way it is. They're not going to give him away for nothing. If they can't work out a new deal, Anquan can be unhappy, but he has to play. He's still going to show up. He's still going to play. The Cardinals are going to have their number one, their number two receiver, and Kurt Warner still throwing the football. Warner got an extension. So the Cardinals don't have to make a move. Anquan is trying to force the move. Right now he's trying to force the move, and he has no agent. So Anquan, the old expression now, is up a creek without a paddle. I'm not saying Drew Rosenhaus didn't try to get a deal done. Get him out of Arizona. Get an extension, $10 million a year, whatever it is. Get a brand new signing bonus. Drew Rosenhaus did try to do that. Rod Graves and the Arizona Cardinals weren't budging. They said, Drew, we're not trading him for this amount. This is not going to happen. If you can get a deal with other teams and they're going to give us this compensation, you can work out a new contract with that team, we'll get it done. Drew Rosenhaus called around, called every team, all the teams that were interested, the Baltimore Ravens, to name one, the Tennessee Titans, to name one. Didn't happen. Ozzie Newsome is not giving up draft picks in Baltimore. Tennessee is not giving up draft picks. And what did Tennessee do in the first round of the draft? Jeff Fisher and company went out and they drafted Kenny Britt, wide receiver out of Rutgers. And they'll develop from within. Anquan Boldin's going to be an Arizona Cardinal this year. Unless there's some dramatic change, whomever he hires as an agent comes in and says, let's get this done. But I believe in Drew Rosenhaus. He represents the most players in the NFL. He's very successful. He knows what he's doing. If Drew's not going to get a deal done, I find it very doubtful that anybody else will get a deal done for Anquan Boldin of the kind of money he's looking for out of the state of Arizona or even within the Arizona Cardinals organization. Not going to happen. 347-945-6275 if you want to get in on the show. Again, it's 347-945-6275. Watching highlights, Tom Brady's back, folks. Is everybody happy? I don't think anybody around the NFL cares. They're probably sitting there thinking, oh, great. The reigning NFL MVP, the Super Bowl MVP, is back on the field, and he's throwing. I'll say one thing on Tom Brady. He's coming off an ACL injury. I can rattle you off a lot of quarterbacks that have been successful coming back from an injury, and I can name a lot of quarterbacks that haven't been successful coming back from an injury. And people are going to force his hand, and they're going to put pressure on him, and they're going to say, hey, Tommy, let's blitz that knee. They're going to blitz him. They're going to come at him heavy. I don't think New England would have traded Matt Castle to Kansas City if they didn't feel Brady was healthy. Brady's an incredible quarterback. I wish him to be healthy. It'll be interesting to see how he comes back from the injury. He'll step in the pocket. How will he take that first hit? If he takes a shot in the leg, how will he adjust? It's a mental aspect as well. Brady's happy to be back. Well, I hope so. He was throwing today here in camp, stretching. Feeling good after the workout. No apparent problems from last year's knee injury. That's good to report. It's very good to report, as a matter of fact. He stretched and threw the ball around in a light rain for the third and final day of the Patriots' organized team activities. There's a little bit of rust for all of us. Thank God the season's still a few months away, Brady told a crush of reporters. You sit on the sidelines for an entire year, you realize how much you miss it. Brady tore ligaments in his left knee in the 2008 season opener and missed the rest of the season. He had knee surgery in October and later had another procedure to treat an infection in the knee. But he said he expects to be ready to play this season. The two-time Super Bowl MVP with the long sweatpants covering the brace on that surgically repaired knee. Nobody likes to do rehab, but I'm glad to be back doing football stuff, he said. This is the part I enjoy the most. Meanwhile, Brady said there's no baby on the way for him and his wife, supermodel Gisele Bündchen. That's funny. After practice on Thursday, the quarterback talked about the importance of a wife and children, but when reporters asked Brady, who has a son with actress Bridget Moynihan, whether their child was on the way, Brady shook his head and said, no, one is enough, Brady said. You know what? I'm a little shocked people are asking him about having children with Gisele. Let the guys on the field and play football. That's what we're here to find out. Can you go back and can you play football? Only time will tell. On the other side, Justin Van Fulpen from the NFL Draft Bible. Next level scout expected to join us. And I'll get Justin's opinion on Tom Brady, among many other things. You're all Access Football Sports Time. It is 5:30.
More live fantasy sports radio than anyone on the planet. 7 continuous hours of football, baseball, basketball, and hockey action each Monday through Friday. Plus 7 hours of game day frenzy on Sunday. 30 shows in all from the best fantasy sportscasters in the business, like Craig Davis of FantasyFootball.com, the Audible Cecil Lammy, Paul Greco of Melnick and Greco Fantasy Sports, and the Fantasy Football guys Lyle Cockhill and Kevin Moore. The Fantasy Sports Channel, only on Blog Talk Radio. It's a schedule you can bet on.
What's up, y'all? It's Audley Stevenson.
And I'm Dave Mendonca.
If you're looking for a basketball talk show with civilized conversation,
you give me your picks, I tell you why they're wrong.
Build around it, Dave. Come on. This is Basketball Franchise 101. I gotta break it down for you.
Audley, come on. You can't forget the big laugh.
It's a sign of the apocalypse. Dave and Audley are in agreement.
Ole, 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 ole.
And big guest,
Darvin
Ham. This is Troy Johnson, a.k.a. Swiss.
Hi, I'm Mo Taylor.
NBA Breakdown is a place for you. Catch us Sunday nights at 9 p.m. Eastern on blogtalkradio.com/the NBA breakdown for Hoops Talk, the way it should be.
Take it down.
When your dedication to fantasy sports borders on obsession, you need to get some serious help. No, we don't mean psychiatric help. You need the help that can only be provided by Sports Grumblings. Sports Grumblings covers all of the major fantasy sports end-to-end, churning out player updates, news, strategy tips, cheat sheets, and more, including the world-famous Fantasy Forecast Ranking System, the only comprehensive computer-generated prediction system of its kind. We do all the work needed to make your fantasy team successful, so you don't have to. Go to sportsgrumblings.com today and see for yourself why we are Fantasy Sports Center of Excellence.
More live fantasy sports radio than anyone on the planet. 7 continuous hours of football, baseball, basketball, and hockey action each Monday through Friday. The Fantasy Sports Channel, only on Blog Talk Radio. It's a schedule you can bet on.
So, you think the football season's over?
Nothing is over until we decide it is.
Yes, again, there is no off-season. I'm Andrew Garda of the Thundering Blurb Football Show, and I'm here to tell you that every Wednesday at 10 p.m. Eastern, 7 Pacific, on Blog Talk Radio's Fantasy Sports Channel, the Thundering Blurb Football Show will have you covered from the start of free agency to the combine to the NFL draft. Every Wednesday, I'll bring you the interviews from tons of prospects firsthand and straight to you from training facilities and pro days. Know who you need to draft before anyone else. Listen to the Thundering Blurb Football Show every Wednesday at 10 p.m. Eastern, 7 Pacific, on Blog Talk Radio's Fantasy Sports Channel.
Looking for that inside edge in your fantasy baseball leagues this year? Well, look no further. The Fantasy Phenoms Baseball Hour is your inside source every night of the week. Jason Sarney and Brett Greenfield talk sabermetrics, draft strategy, and much more in an hour full of fantasy advice and baseball information. With frequent guests like Tony Cincotta, Red Oldham, and Lenny Melnick. You'll never know what will happen. 6 to 7 Eastern Time every weeknight on the Fantasy Sports Channel and available on iTunes. The Fantasy Phenoms Baseball Hour. All that you need to dominate your league. Be there.
What's up, everybody? I'm Dave Mendonca.
And I'm Audley Stevenson.
Now, if you're looking for a basketball talk show with civilized conversation...
This isn't a buffet. I want more, I want more, I want more.
Yeah, go call your mama.
Dave, come on, man. You can't forget the big laugh.
You guys are hilarious already, man.
And big guest...
Darvin Ham.
Hi, this is Spud Webb.
Hi, I'm Tracy Murray.
The NBA Breakdown is the place for you. Catch us Sunday nights at 9 p.m. Eastern on blogtalkradio.com/the NBA Breakdown for Hoops Talk, the way it should be.
Break it down.
Welcome back, folks. T-Spec, Brian Spector with you, taking you the next 25 minutes here on the All Access Football Network, talking a lot about the NFL. College just around the corner. And who else to break this down other than Justin Van Fulpen from the NFL Draft Bible, Next Level Scouting, is now joining me on the All Access Sports Line. Justin, how are you, my friend?
Good. How's it going, Spec?
I'm doing good, buddy. How's everything in your end?
Hey, you know, it's a cloudy day here in Michigan. So, you know, Tigers are doing well. The Red Wings are in the Stanley Cup final. So, you know, it's a good day to be, you know, in the Wolverine state.
And what about the Detroit Lions?
See, I didn't want to bring them up, you know, as far as we're looking to restore the roar in Motown.
Hey, you asked for that one, buddy. I mean, we're mentioning the Red Wings. We're mentioning the Tigers in first place. We have to give the Detroit Lions a little bit of love. Matthew Stafford, one win, and you're the savior.
That's right. You know, Matthew Stafford, if they win, you know, like I said, one to two, you know, maybe even win five games, I mean, people will be going crazy in the cities of the city
of the
Detroit. Yeah, they'll be saying, hey, this is the next John Elway.
Yeah. Pretty much. Justin, I know you have a lot going on. Always appreciate the time here on the show. And, folks, again, we're joined by Justin Van Fulpen from the NFL Draft Bible and Next Level Scouting. You can catch his terrific work. Justin, this is probably the most minute of issues, but something you and I know a lot about that I want to give people some insight on. And it's something I was thinking about earlier. Anquan Boldin, we know with the contract discussions he's been having with the Cardinals, and Rod Graves has come out publicly and said, hey, listen, Anquan, we're more than happy to trade you, but we're not going to give you up for nothing, and then again, we're not going to pay you what we're paying Larry Fitzgerald. That's not going to happen. Anquan Boldin comes out. He fires Drew Rosenhaus, his agent, Rosenhaus representing more players in the NFL than anybody. What do you make of this whole situation of a player firing an agent of the magnitude of Drew Rosenhaus? Is any other agent he brings on board with him going to help get a deal done or help get him out of Arizona? Or, I mean, what are your thoughts on this?
Well, you know, as far as the thing is that he's looking at probably CAA with Tom Condon or Ben Dogger or maybe Eugene Parker, who represents Larry Fitzgerald. You know, I think the thing is, you know, Anquan, yeah, said, hey, you know, this is not the first year. I mean, this goes back to last year, and this is what he wanted, you know. So I think what he feels is like, hey, I gave Drew, you know, almost 2 years to get this done, whether a new contract or get me out of Arizona, and he hasn't done it yet. You know, I don't think, you know, I don't know Anquan personally, you know, so I can't, you know, don't speak what's going on in his head. But what I'm thinking is that he's saying, hey, enough is enough. This is what I want. So, Drew, you weren't able to do it. Let me see if Tom Condon or another superpower agent like Condon or Eugene Monroe can make this happen. I think he's just getting frustrated, and the only option he thought that he could do, obviously he can't, you know, trade him, you know, from the Arizona Cardinals, or he would have done it a long time ago, was to, as far as make a change in the agent.
Well, doesn't it go further than just the contract negotiations? Because you and I both know the Tennessee Titans were involved, draft day, had interest in Boldin. The Baltimore Ravens had interest in Boldin. And when you look at the Ravens and Oz Newsome, you look at the Titans and Jeff Fisher and what they've built there, they like to build to the draft. They like the draft picks. Do we really know what Rod Graves and the Cardinals are asking for? They have to be asking for an astronomical amount. Because what they have to realize is you're not only asking for draft picks from a new team, that new team then has to go ahead and give Anquan Boldin a new contract. You're giving up possibly, potentially, two high draft picks and besides the longevity in that contract.
Well, yeah, you know, the Bears were also involved with it. They offered a second-round pick during the draft, same with the Philadelphia Eagles. And I think, you know, I think if Anquan would have said, hey, I'll do it, you know, on an average of, you know, $8 million a year, I think, you know, they would have been willing to give up, you know, a first-round and a third-round, something like that. Kind of what, you know, the Eagles did for Jason Peters, where they gave up a low first round and a third round pick to get him, and then redid his deal. I think Philadelphia would have done that. I think, you know, they were scared off that he was going to ask for $10 million a year, which they weren't willing to pay, you know, for to allocate that money to that receiver position. So I think the miscommunication, and I don't know where that came from, is that Anquan wanted $10 million a year, and I don't know if that's what he really wants. I think he just wants to be out of Arizona. I think he doesn't feel the love, you know, as far as he wants to be the highest paid receiver, you know, on his team, definitely, and he can't be that with Larry Fitzgerald, he's not going to get the Larry Fitzgerald type of money just because he's not as durable. He's not Larry Fitzgerald. He's a great receiver, no doubt, but I don't think he is in that level of a Larry Fitzgerald, Calvin Johnson, et cetera, those top five, you know, elite receivers.
And you make a great point. You can't argue that Larry Fitzgerald is the best wide receiver in football. And you made a great point with durability. Larry Fitzgerald is very durable. Anquan Boldin's had both knees surgically repaired, even going back to his college days, the jaw last year. You have to wonder, even if he's 28 years old, by the time he's 31, 32, does he start to decline based on his injury history?
Yeah, I think that's what teams are looking at, too. So do we allocate, you know, $8 to $10 million plus a year to this guy who maybe only has two or three really good seasons left in him?
Yeah, and it's a great point. It's going to be interesting to see what happens. Something that I read about earlier, Justin, Lee Corso, you know, suffering a stroke. That's a big blow for college football. I mean, he says he will be back for the season, but your heart has to go out to him and his family.
Oh, definitely. You know, he's a guy who makes that college game day go with Herb Street and Fowler. But as far as Corso, everybody loves him. You know, as far as his days of coaching, you know, Indiana, being a player at Florida State, and, you know, the headgear and everything like that, he's always been a guy who has really, you know, ingratiated himself to the college football fan and really been a part of that that experience, you know, as far as with college game day. If you're ever lucky enough to be at a game where those guys are at, I mean, it's definitely an experience, and they bring that extra hype to what is normally an insane, you know, situation at a college football stadium.
And you made a great point, too. He's, you know, with Lee Corso, either you love him or you hate him, but he just entertains me when you watch college games. Like you said, with the different heads he puts on. And I thought him and Herb Street, McShay, Desmond Howard, that's a great cast. And Fowler, they do a terrific job with that show. And I think not having Lee Corso, it would be a big blow. And you just hope that he definitely gets better in his recovery, that's for sure.
Yeah, I mean, that's definitely as far as the prayers are out with him and his family, and hopefully, you know, everything can get back to normal, and this is just a blip in the radar.
And he said it's a bump in the road, and we hope so, and we hope he's back and ready to go in about 8 weeks when the college football season kicks off. And we're joined by Justin Van Fulpen of the NFL Draft Bible, Next Level Scouting. You can catch his terrific work on NFLDraftBible.com. And he does an exceptional job covering everything from draft to all of college and has some incredible insight. Justin, going back to the NFL really fast, Tom Brady back on the practice field. What do you make of Tom Brady being back with the Patriots? If you're on an NFL team, are you scared or not really at this particular point?
I don't think you're scared at this particular point because you want to see as far as, hey, how's he going to come back from that knee injury, you know, where a lot of people thought, hey, he was going to go in there and have to have another surgery because of the infection that he had in the knee. You know, it's good for the NFL as far as the NFL as a whole because he's definitely a marquee player at the position that, you know, gets all the sales at the, you know, at the quarterback spot. So before, the NFL definitely needs him, and I think that, you know, he'll be okay. You know, the question is, are the Patriots a team that's that 16-0 team, or are they the 11-5 team? You know, how much more wins would the Patriots had last year if they would have had Tom Brady over Matt Castle? And I think, you know, I don't think they would have had a ton more. You know, maybe they wouldn't have went in, you know, 13-3 or 12-4, maybe a 1-2, you know, game. But I think, you know, that team is getting older. You know, yeah, they get rid of, you know, Mike Vrabel, and they're trying to get a little bit younger with the draft picks that they brought in. But that core of that team is getting older, and we'll have to see, does Father Time really step in, and are they a 10-6, 9-7 team this year and struggle to make the playoffs?
And something that drives me crazy, Justin, is when we talk about Matt Castle, nobody gives the guy any credit. You know, Castle did a hell of a job with that team and did put up some really good numbers. And even with Tom Brady, you've seen it, I've seen it. We've seen a lot of quarterbacks that have had major injuries that have either come back or not been the same. It's a hit and miss no matter what. So I'm tired of people saying, oh, Tom Brady's back. The Patriots are going to be back to that offense they were a couple years ago, putting up big-time numbers. And I spoke to a couple of local Patriot beat writers, and they've been saying their one concern is the same concern I have. The concern I have with the Patriots, besides the fact, can Tom Brady step up? Is that knee fully healthy? What's the one thing Brady's going to need? Protection. And when you have Matt Light and Logan Mankins and Nick Kezier and Dan Copen, I'm missing, and Neal, the other lineman, those guys have been together for a long time. But a couple years ago, they got their butts handed to them in that Super Bowl against the Giants. How is that offensive line going to hold up? Especially they're starting to age in that particular bracket right there. And offensive line is important. not only in protecting your quarterback, but winning on the line of scrimmage. That's a concern I have for Brady's health and the Patriots going forward.
Yeah, I mean, definitely. I mean, as far as, like I said, that whole team is getting older, you know, as far as, and they've tried to, as far as get it younger with the draft, and they went and, you know, got a lot of second-round picks and, you know, stockpile a lot of draft picks, which they like to do. But my question is, hey, you know, yeah, they got a lot of, you know, quantity, but what type of quality did they receive? And they haven't done anything to address that offensive line. You know, yeah, they brought in a bunch of other old players, like a Fred Taylor and like a Joey Galloway. You know, I mean, so they're not getting younger at the skill positions, and their offensive line, you know, isn't any younger. And, you know, Tom Brady's coming off a major knee injury. We saw a guy like Dante Culpepper, you know, it's taken him, you know, a couple years to come back, and he's still not to that level that he was before the knee injury. So, I mean, time is going to tell what's going to happen here with the New England Patriots.
And you made another great point. I'm not convinced. I know they like to do things running back. I commit. Maroney's still relatively young, has a lot of injury concerns. Fred Taylor had a great year last year. He's up there in age. Sammy Moore is up there in age. Even though you do a running back five committee, as you get older at that position, you're not as quick. You're not as durable. And if they don't have anybody that can run the football, they didn't have anybody to run the football last year. Sammy Moore's got hurt at certain points. They were weaving guys in and out from the street. If you have to do that this year, you have to bank on Brady not knowing what his leg is going to be like. You're really banking on a lot of possibilities with that team.
Yeah, and, you know, Vrabel was, you know, I mean, let's not forget about the guy who was that leader of that defense, a guy who would, you know, rush the passer, who could do multiple things in that defensive scheme. It wasn't Mike Vrabel. He played inside, he played outside, you know, as far as they used him on the goal line, as far as a tight end. You know, I mean, he was a valuable, you know, a player for that team. And, you know, I think as far as they gave, you know, Castle and, you know, Vrabel to the Kansas City Chiefs and only got a second-round pick back. You know, some people said, hey, this is, you know, kind of moving for salary because of, you know, Castle's big deal because of his franchise, you know, tag that was put on him. But I think, you know, Mike Vrabel, you know, he's always, I think, been underrated, you know, in my opinion, as far as a top-notch linebacker, as far as the versatility that he brings, you know, as far as...
And also.
Yeah, rushing the passer and doing everything like that. I think, you know, Mike Vrabel is a guy who is going to be sorely missed in that New England defense.
Yeah, and they got nobody to replace him. When you look at that defense, you're pretty content with those guys on the inside. You're content with Jerod Mayo, who's going to be a hell of a player. You're content with Teddy Bruschi's up there in age, he's still very productive for you. And Julius Thomas coming off an injury. Who's that other outside linebacker? You thought they would go after Jason Taylor. He resigned with Miami. So the Patriots still have a lot of question marks outside of Tom Brady.
Yeah, I mean, they think Pierre Woods is going to try to step in there, but he hasn't done it. You know, I mean, he's a guy from Michigan who was, yeah, he was a good athlete, but never that great dominant football player at the University of Michigan. They just signed Paris Lillen, who came from the Detroit Lions, who went 0-16 last year. So, you know, I mean, like I said, I mean, they're not really making any splashes, you know, as far as to replace Mike Vrabel at that linebacking core.
On another note, Michael Vick is finally out of prison. What do you think? I know it's funny the way I put it. He's at prison. What do you think? I know he's home now in Virginia, and he's going to start his home confinement now. He's going to work a construction job making $10 an hour. But give or take, once he's up in a couple of months for good, first he's going to meet with Commissioner Goodell. Just, I don't even think Commissioner Goodell's going to reinstate him this year. I think he'll be sitting out another year.
You know, I think he will. I think what, you know, I think because of the backing of, you know, Tony Dungy, who went there, and I think he's going to give, you know, all of Vick's support to try to get him reinstated. So I think, you know, Michael Vick will be reinstated. I think maybe he serves a 4-game, you know, suspension, you know, because I think they feel like, hey, he's, you know, he's been suspended for the last 2 years, you know, because he's been in prison, you know. But my old question is, Michael Vick, what type of player is he? You know, is he the Michael Vick that we saw, you know, before he got arrested and went to prison? Or has prison really done, you know, bad things for him as far as he's not that great athlete anymore, he doesn't have that cannon arm, and, you know, what type of player is the team going to get when he does sign with an NFL squad?
And you know what, Justin? Even if he does get reinstated, by Commissioner Goodell, which I still think like is up in the air, even with the endorsement of Tony Dungy. He does get back in the league, per se. What team is going to take a flyer on him? You can look at it from two reasons. Reason number one, you look at the dimension now with the Miami Dolphins started with this Wildcat formation. They get Pat White to run this Wildcat. Michael Vick be a Wildcat quarterback, and can he still be that athlete and be an asset to a team? But on the other hand, what's going to happen from the PETA perspective, these animal rights groups? What kind of a PR hit is a team going to take? Is a team going to risk taking that kind of PR hit from those organizations by bringing in Michael Vick, or are they going to say, the hell with it, Vick's going to be an asset to my team? So you see what I mean? Is a team really going to take a shot on Vick, or are they going to look at it from the positive perspective, hey, he's our Wildcat guy, he's our quarterback, he's still 29 years old, and you get 3-4 years out of him, doesn't have a lot of wear and tear, kind of like Ricky Williams right now at age 32, or hey, we're not touching him because of this whole PETA and animal rights situation.
Well, I think some team will take a shot at him. Now, as far as has him coming in and being their starting quarterback, no. But is him coming in and being a backup, you know, you look at a guy, okay, maybe going into a San Francisco, you know, somewhere where, hey, he's not the starter, but he's got an opportunity to play. You know, Al Davis likes to take flyers on bad guys, and he's done in the past. You know, yeah, they did bring in Jeff Garcia. But, hey, you know, just let's think about that. You know, I mean, that they.
Can you imagine that, though? Michael Vick in Oakland or Michael Vick in Cincinnati with the rest of the Jailbirds? I mean, come on.
But, you know, I mean, if you can win, you can play. You know, I mean, that's the thing.
Michael Vick goes to Cincinnati Bengals to be the Wildcat quarterback to spell Carson Palmer. Then you got Michael Vick, Chad Ochocinco, Cedric Benson, and Johnson, Chris Henry. I mean, bro, and they're going to be on HBO Hard Knocks. Could you imagine that cast on HBO where nothing is censored? What kind of entertainment? That would be perfect for the Cincinnati Bengals and Mike Brown. Go out and get Mike Vick.
Well, you know, that would be some big ratings for HBO. I mean, so HBO is probably hoping that Cincinnati picks up Mike Vick. But, you know, I think as far as talent always overwins.
You'd watch it, right?
Yeah, I'd watch it.
I want to see all those jailbirds on the same field and see and hear what comes out of their mouth. I want to see what they do after hours. Okay, football is now done. Mike Brown goes to sleep. Marvin Lewis goes to his dorm to pass out. All the coaches are sleeping. And all of a sudden, the players are talking on a walkie-talkie. All right, 419 or Tank Johnson. All right, guys, quick, let's go to the club. Quick, let's call Pac-Man. I would love to see that.
You ain't got no sense, Pac-Man.
That's cops on foot.
Yeah, but I think really Michael Vick, the talent really overwhelms.
You think his talent will be very overwhelming for a team not to pass on?
Yeah, because I talked with a couple GMs, and one in the CFL, one in the NFL, and they both told me, they said, hey, if we'd sign him in a heartbeat. If we didn't, weren't going to get as far as the PR backlash from the community. So, I mean, I think GMs out there want him. You know, the question is can the community, or are they going to have an owner that's going to be like, you know what, screw the community. You know, we're going to go ahead and get some talent and be able to win, and the community will come back and support us. So, someone's going to take a shot. The question is, it's going to have to be an owner with a lot of cojones that doesn't care as far as what the community thinks, because nobody's, you know, going to really support Michael Vick from Jump Street on the community standpoint, you know, whether they're just because of, hey, it's dogs and everybody's a dog lover, and even if you're not an animal rights activist, but, you know, you respect animals and that kind of stuff. So, you know, but it's going to take an owner that needs to win now and wants to win, that doesn't care about what the community thinks. So as far as an Al Davis, you know, a Mike Brown, a Jerry Jones, you know, et cetera, down the road, those are the owners that says, hey, I'm going to do whatever I can do to win, and Michael Vick is an asset.
Now, really fast, this last question on the Michael Vick situation. Do you think Vick's a full-time quarterback again, or do you think it's going to be more of that Wildcat situation for the rest of his career?
I think he's a backup quarterback. I think he's going to have to play full-time quarterback, because I don't think he's going to – as time marches on, he loses that quickness to be that wild type, you know, quarterback. So I think he's a number two quarterback, you know, starts out, and when he's 30, 31, maybe gets a chance to start again.
There you go. We're joined on the All-Access Sports Line by Justin Van Fulton of the NFL Draft Bible and Next Level Scouting. He does a great job. You can catch great work on the website. Justin, before I let you go, one quick question. College football season now right around the corner. We see how Lane Kiffin just keeps running his mouth nonstop within this SEC. What kind of a year, realistically, do you see Lane Kiffin having? Do you see them going 3-9, 3-8? Or you really see him threatening the Gators and threatening some of these other teams in the SEC?
I think he's going to, you know, he's going to shock a couple people, you know, a couple teams. He's going to give Florida, give Georgia as far as a run for the money because he's brought in some talent. You know, he's brought in some talent. He's going to, you know, as far as I think the kids like to play for him, and they like that bravado that he brings and as far as running his mouth off. You know, and I think that's why he's gotten some of the recruits that he has. I think they're going to have they're going to be better than what they were last year, which doesn't take much, but they are going to be better. They're going to improve, and I see, you know, 2 years down the road, they're going to be competing for an SEC championship.
What do you make of Lane Kiffin, though, as a person? I only ask this, Justin, because I don't see him. I like Lane Kiffin as a coach. Of course, I think he got a raw deal in Oakland, like everybody gets a raw deal in Oakland with Al Davis. I love what he did in USC and bringing in his father, who the mastermind of that cover two Tampa defense. You saw what he's done in Tampa all those years. I think his father will be great for those kids, and defense wasn't a problem. I think he'll make their defense even better. Do you think Lane by himself can fix that offense and compete against Urban Meyer and all these guys? I just don't think he can do it now. And with that sign hanging up in the Gator locker room, that's not something I'd be proud of. I think the Gators, if they have every opportunity, they're going to try and run up 100 points on Lane Kiffin if they can.
Well, I think this year, but I think he's going to shock somebody. Might not be the Gators, might be Georgia, you know, et cetera. But I think, you know, 2 years down the road, he's competing with Florida and he's competing for the SEC championship. And he's going to get this program turned around because he can recruit. And like you said, he brought in his dad, who's you know a stabilizing force in the coaching staff. And he's going to be able to work on that offense. This team in 2 years will compete for the SEC title.
There you go. There you have it. Justin Van Fulton from the NFL Draft Bible. Folks, go on the website. Check out all that he does. He does an absolute terrific job. And as a regular here on the NFL Spectacular, always as a good friend of the program, good friend of mine, always appreciate his insight, and does a great job for Next Level Scouting as well, breaking down all the college prospects. Justin, you're a stud. I appreciate the time, my friend, and I'm sure we'll be talking very soon.
Yep. Talk to you later, man. We'll talk to you.
You got it, buddy. Thanks again. There you have it, Justin Van Fulpen, bringing it strong here on the NFL Spectacular. A couple minutes left on the show, folks, if you want to get in. 347-945-6275. Take your calls. College, NFL, whatever is on your mind. Plaxico Burress still in the news, as he always is. The wait on his court case before any team will take a potential flyer on him. Another quick minute left on the show. I'm D-Spec Brian Spector. We take you every Tuesday and Thursday night here on the All Access Football Network. 5 to 6 every Tuesday and Thursday. We'll be back with you Tuesday night, 5 o'clock, taking your calls. We'll have more guests as well. Update anything going on in the NFL. One thing I didn't get to today, folks, that I want to touch on next week are these tampering charges regarding Albert Haynesworth and the Washington Redskins and the Tennessee Titans. I definitely want to touch on that next week. Bears not expected to pursue Matt Jones. I hope not. Are they just not going to pursue Matt Jones, or is it Matt Jones and the cocaine addiction that he's had? Again, I want to get into that tampering charge next week. That's something I have a very strong insight on. Jimmy Smith pleads not guilty to his charges, the former Jaguar receiver. And we'll get into all that next Tuesday at 5 o'clock. I'm B-Sec Brian Spector. I want to thank Justin Van Fulpen from the NFL Draft Bible and Next Level Scouting. I want to thank all of you for listening, tuning in. Thank you for your calls. Your input's always appreciated here on the show. Once again, we will be back next Tuesday, 5 o'clock. We'll take your calls, more guests. Appreciate the insight, folks. I'm B-Spec Brian Spector. We'll see you later. Have a good one, folks.